Here we are with Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. He's been in office since 2013. Welcome back to the Congressional Corner, Sean.
It's good to be with you.
First of all, you ran in that primary for Attorney General. Now you're running in the District for Congress, which you said you would. How's that going?
Well, it's going great. You know, look, we serve at the pleasure of the voters, and, you know, I have this contract for 2 years at a time, and we go to them and we ask them to renew it based on the work we've done. And, you know, I'm proud that we passed over 30 bills into law. I've helped thousands of people out of the district office getting real stuff done by being productive and being effective, like stopping the oil anchorages barges on the Hudson River, like cleaning up the water contamination in Newburgh and Hopewell Junction, you know, getting results for people, making trains safer with technology, infrastructure projects, crop insurance for my farmers. You know, that's the bread and butter of this office. And we go back to the voters every 2 years and say, look at the work we've done. We'd like to keep doing it.
So let me go back to the Attorney General thing with you for a moment. You fell short. Do you now endorse Tish James, who won the primary? What do you think? Were you disappointed that Andrew Cuomo, who you've been close with, didn't do more for you?
I guess I don't understand that question. I mean, the fact is that Tish won fair and square. She's our nominee, and I support her. And I think that's the right thing to do. We had a primary. You know, it's called democracy. We all put our ideas forth and our credentials, and the voters made a decision, and I respect that. And I support Tish. I think she's going to be a good attorney general.
Okay. So why didn't you win?
Well, you know, look at that. You know, when you play at this level of statewide politics, there's always a lot of things that factor in. I think in the end of the day, the voters picked another candidate. I mean, we had, a huge turnout among Democrats, which I'm very excited about for everything it means in terms of participation and the fall election especially. But in this case, they had another choice and they took it. I think that when you do this for a living, you rely on the voters, you know, getting these decisions right, and they don't always go your way. So I don't have a specific answer to your question. I think that they thought that in balance, that Tish was the person that they wanted in that spot at this time, and I respect the judgment of the voters. And I think that maybe we don't have enough of that in politics. It seems like people don't ever get over the election. I respect the outcome of the voters. I support our nominee.
There's no question the election's over. Okay, so what's the reaction from the people in your district? Have they been supportive? Have they said, well, you tried, you know, and it didn't work, well, welcome back? Or basically, did you sense that there's been some resentment?
No, I think what I've heard most from my supporters especially is there's a sort of bittersweet quality to this. They're disappointed that I wasn't able to do more on a statewide level on all the issues I care about. But at the same time, I think they support me, you know, in the current job I have. I think there's other people who oppose me politically. Obviously, they hope I lose every race I run. So I'd say it runs the gamut, of course. Look, at the end of the day, you know, this thing is about the work you do and about the record you have. I'll stack my record up against anybody's. I'm very proud of the 30 pieces of legislation we've passed, the thousands of people we've helped. And I've been doing that from a position as a relatively junior member in the minority. I'm going to go back to Congress with more seniority, hopefully working out of the majority. And I'm excited about all the things we can get done. And that's the only basis for asking for a renewal of this contract, is that I've been doing a good job. I'm going to keep doing a good job. There's a full complement of firefighters working in Newburgh, because for 6 years, you know, we've picked that budget up and carried it on our back through federal grants and the rest. I mean, those are real results, and I want to keep getting them. And that's the only thing I'm talking to voters about.
So let's go there. Flipping of the House. You seem to think that it might well happen. What's the evidence? And do you think it will? I see that Donald Trump is on the warpath. He's going around doing his best to keep Republican control of the House. Do you think it'll work? Do you think that there are signs that the thing will flip?
I think Democrats and independents and everybody who thinks this president needs a real check on some of his excesses needs to get out and vote. And I think that what's going to happen is going to depend on whether people go vote. I'm encouraged by what happened on September 13th and that we had a huge turnout. I'm encouraged by looking around to all the special elections and other races we've seen around the country. There's a lot of data that people are engaged. That's a good thing. I think it's pretty simple. I think this president needs to have somebody pumping the brakes on him. That's obvious. It's pretty clear that the Republicans in Washington and in Congress have rolled over on pretty much everything in terms of oversight. And you need an independent Article I branch of government, the Congress, you know, providing some real oversight, keeping a check on his craziness, and getting results for people. And I think that's the number one thing driving this. And I think you're going to see the Democrats do pretty well. Yeah, I think we're going to take the House. I think we're probably looking at more than 30 seats at this point. But that really depends on whether people get in the game. And so I think as Democrats, we've counted our chickens before they're hatched before. I think we ought all just go to work and get it done. And then we'll see where we are on November 7th.
Sean Patrick Maloney, you are a guy who is in a district. It's a tough district, obviously. It can go either way. It's purple. What is your sense of what you're hearing? It was very close for Trump in the election, last election. So what do you think?
Yeah, he won it.
Yeah, he won it. So do you think, can you see a sea change based on the people you're talking to?
Look, I think that people are really disgusted by a lot of what they see in Washington, and mostly that centers around just the failure to get real things done. I think most folks are far less engaged in the red team, blue team, minute by minute drama than they are in whether this thing is working for them or not. And it's good that the economy's doing well, but there's some long-term there's some really serious long-term problems with our economy, our debt, our deficit, wealth inequality, the way we're creating jobs or not in different places, things like the opioid epidemic, things like the failure to fix our immigration system, which is making criminals of a lot of our farmers, things like failure to invest in our infrastructure, our own country. And I think people want us to get that stuff done. I do think that in the end of the day, that's really what drives this. They don't want the president to fail, but they're offended by a lot of his more outrageous statements and actions. They're right to be. He's been borderline racist and absolutely offensive in all kinds of ways that are completely irresponsible and reckless. But they want things to work, and that is the mistake I think we sometimes make, is that it's not about the red team or the blue team. It's about whether this works for moms and dads out there trying to raise their kids, trying to pay the bills, trying to save for college and retirement. And that's what I'm focused on.
So, but specifically, I guess I'm pushing it too hard on this, Sean, and I apologize. But, you knew people who were for Trump. Are any of them saying to you,
I know in the rarefied air of, of NPR or public radio, sure, or liberal circles, yeah, that you don't know anybody who supports Trump. But, but the fact is that Democrats are real good at talking to people who already agree with us. One of the things I have to do is talk to people who don't. And yeah, I know a lot of people who voted for Trump. It's called the majority of my district. I think that there's a lot of space within those voters for change right now, because that's mostly what that swing group was voting for. They want this thing to work. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So it's less about Trump and it's less about red team, blue team, about who's going to get things done. So I don't think Democrats should comfort ourselves that we were right all along, so much as we should understand that Trump is the wrong answer to the right questions on things like why the upstate economy isn't working for more people, why middle-class families are getting squeezed and screwed on everything from their health care costs to tuition for their kids' school, why people can't save for retirement. These are real questions we need to deliver on, and if there's still support for Trump, it's because there's support for blowing this system up and fixing it, doing things better. I just think Trump has not delivered on that. I think that he's fundamentally phony. I think he's pushing a whole bunch of stuff that is short-term attractive, like loading stimulus onto a good economy already instead of being fiscally responsible, giving more tax cuts to the people who need them the least, taking away deductions for people in New York that we really need for state and local property taxes, coming after things like Medicaid expansion, which is the way we fight the opioid epidemic. What I see is a president who's hurting New York every way from Sunday, including going after big infrastructure projects like the Gateway Project, which will double the capacity under the Hudson River and really help our local economy here.
Okay.
This administration's bad for New York.
Okay, Sean, I hear you. When we come back, I'm going to ask you a question for the next time we deal with this. which is basically what happens if the house flips?